Welcome to Before You Cut Bangs. I'm Laura Quick.
And I'm Claire Fearman.
I'm Laura, and I am a professional storyteller.
And I'm Claire, and I have been a therapist, a coach, a counselor, and all over the mental health world for many years. A quick disclaimer, this is not therapy, and this is not coaching. This is just a podcast.
Totally. A really badass podcast.
We are rolling. It is officially going.
All right, let's get started. Today we're going to be talking about the drug of comparison and cultural myths. And the reason we're talking about this is because this is something you guys said that you wanted to talk about. When we did surveys at the end of the year and we were asking people, what is it you want to talk about? Comparison, I think, is a drug that we all overdose on. Claire?
All the time.
Right. I mean, internet hates us and feeds us all the content, right, Will?
Yeah, and it does it on purpose, right? To make us compare ourselves. And I mean, that's what it seems like we've learned from these algorithms.
Mm-hmm, totally. And then I think we just want to throw in a splash of cultural myths because Claire has done such a really great job of helping us understand what culture forces us to believe is true and we must subscribe to, but actually that's not true.
You know, I've always, and this is not like it's true all the time, but I always think the more perfect someone's life seems to be online, the more screwed up it is. I know it's not always the case, but a lot of times, and there's so many people I know that just have their life is just a complete disaster, and online it's like the most perfect family and everything. I'm like, what the?
And that's a cultural myth because right now as a society, we use social media to gauge the, like if there's a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 is you're perfect and 0 is you're the worst. I think that we take to the internet to do our research.
That's right. My mom does. Like, one time she thought that coconut oil would kill you. And she also read an article that that children were growing horns because their neck was postured down so often.
Excuse me?
And she was like, evolution is happening because they're growing these horns out the bottom of their neck. And then I Googled it, and I think it was an Onion article that she misunderstood for real.
But hey, let me tell you, in my business and Will's business, we love Steffs because Steffs are the people that we can get with just the hook. Like, all you need is a great headline, and you got her.
Part of what we do is when we say, I heard, or I researched, or I read an article, what do we really mean now?
We looked on social media.
That's right. And from a psychology background, when I did research, it's like extensive and hard and really boring. And so I think we also have to take really lightly when we've researched something. Like if you heard Jane from Utah tell you about lavender essential oil cured the warts on her toes, like maybe it did work for her. Mm-hmm. Another one that I've seen is the skincare phenomenon. And so like, yeah, did I buy snail mucin for my face? You bet. I did.
I don't even know what that is. I'm so nervous.
It is literally the secretion from a snail in a bottle that you put on your face.
Okay, wait. Can we please talk about the lab where someone is milking a snail?
Somebody's got to do it.
That's disgusting.
So what we do is we crave social media because it does normalize. Like, yes, while we compare, we're like, oh, they also experience that. I'm not as crazy, or I relate. So it feels really connecting. But then we see someone with that like glazed donut look. Will's like, probably like, what the hell are you talking about? But it was a look, very glossy. And they're like, I use these 14 products. Here's my Amazon link below. So they've made bank on it. Mm-hmm. And what I want to gently remind women is, like, you don't know their genetics or their skin type or anything. And snail mucin didn't do anything for me, as it would turn out.
You're kidding.
You know what did?
Shocking.
When I went to the doctor, they're called dermatologists. And they're like, oh, you actually need this prescription. And I was like, oh, right. There's medical professionals out there, not, all right, I did Jane from Utah, you know, Susan from Iowa, who uses snail mucin. And so this other thing that we're all alike, yeah, like there's some really beautiful ways that we get to be alike. But also, I don't know how much sun damage Susan had.
I'm going to tell you, lots of it. If she did anything like what we did when we were teenagers, which was putting on those little Playboy stickers to see where the tanning bed had taken my base tan to.
I didn't. Snail mucin ain't going to fix that.
Nope, I can tell you. Okay, so what I love about this is, for me, what I'm hearing is cultural myths are kind of the gateway to comparison. The cultural myth opens the door. Like, you start believing, like Will said, someone with this curated perfect grid and their life being like, oh my God, my husband's perfect. My children are perfect. We all wear these smocks every day, which makes me want to throw up.
Smocks?
I'm just saying.
Smocks. Okay, yeah. I
never
see.
Correct me. But anyways, when you see that perfect stuff and then you start following along and trying to model your life after those people where you don't know the context. You don't know what it looks like when the camera's off. When we didn't clean the living room perfectly to make this curated post about this snail milking.
I did the fridge thing with the containers. You've seen those videos?
Mm-hmm. We do not get served. We do not have the same algorithm.
Say it one more time. It's a video of what?
Of people getting clear containers to put already contained food in. Like, you would put your berries from the grocery store container and like a clear bin that's labeled. It was like after I broke off my engagement. So like, I think I was kind of desperate for something. And like, I would watch these videos and they were sped up and they'd clean out their fridge and then everything was in clear containers. And so I spent hundreds of dollars on clear containers, but I also kind of lazy. And so I didn't measure the fridge. The thrift store got the containers. It's kind of the moral of the story. But I was like, that person's berries, it all looks so good. They were even pouring orange juice in. I didn't do that because that's insane. But orange juice into a glass bottle to put in the fridge. But in my like desperation of that time, I was like, that's got to feel pretty good to have that kind of fridge. It didn't.
Hey, to make your mom feel better, maybe? So it turns out, I wish that was an Onion story about the horns. It was a story from the Washington Post in 2019, and they're saying horns, I'm doing quotey fingers, listeners, because it was like they were saying that because kids were bent over so much, there was a small spike-like little thing that was happening on the back of skulls. And then there are other articles that's like, yeah, so this is happening. But then plenty of articles came out and said, no, this is not a real thing. It's a flawed study. And it was they'd launched an internal review. And anyway, it wasn't the Onion.
Okay, good.
If you're only reading headlines, it's really easy to make up the rest of the story on your own. And so reading full articles would be really helpful and actually could make you feel a little more well-researched. But okay, back to the topic. So what happens if we watched Susie in Iowa? She's got the perfect containers. We order the perfect containers, Claire. We get them in. We change everything out in our refrigerator and our life is the same.
So I think like where that sounds like it's going is like there's an empty hole in your heart that you're filling with containers. Like that may be true, but I actually don't think that. You know, I think people that shop a lot, they're like, I must be filling an empty space or drink a lot or whatever. Like perhaps that's the case. But what happens is the constant consumption of all of that media actually makes us feel further disconnected. So we're like, maybe if I connect in this way, it will feel better. I'll be more like them. I will be more fulfilled. Or that's that ticket. Like, that's the ticket to meeting these, like, cultural expectations. That's the ticket to a happy marriage. That's the ticket to whatever, to having that clean, perfect home. And so it ends up creating disconnect from self. So it's really about this, like, myth of what if I just kind of, like, sat with this and didn't buy it? What if I just sat with this and wondered, like, am I actually kind of lonely today? Am I bored? And coming from this angle of curiosity instead of comparison.
Have you ever seen those little, there's like a little wheel and it's like, today I feel anxious. And then it connects you to the other things that you could be feeling anxious about. And so it helps us. So I think what happens when I think scrolling is its own addiction, right? This idea, we've got a phone in our hand. And so we're constantly like looking to consume because it's a way to numb out or whatever the case may be. But if you're doing that, you're not often, you don't even have space to ask yourself how you're really feeling. Right. And so I just think even the art of asking yourself how you feel is really difficult sometimes.
Well, you don't get the same dopamine hit. So all social media, do y'all remember when Instagram didn't refresh? Like you had a second, like feeds would kind of stay there. But now if you wait too long, they refresh really quickly. Or if you watch a story and go back to your homepage feed, it's already refreshed again. Mm-hmm. So those are all set up for a dopamine hit. And when your brain is wired to get that dopamine hit, it's like refresh and new and get more. Mm-hmm. And so now we're kind of being rewired into this for the dopamine hit. So sitting back and pausing in curiosity will not be a naturally occurring dopamine hit. Where we used to like take a step outside and like get fresh air and enjoy the sunshine, that dopamine level is far lower than it used to be. Or calling a friend now, like if my phone rings, I have more anxiety than like, oh, I wonder what she's calling to say, right? Like, like we've gone what? From, not
I
you.
I love when people call me.
I'm not scared when you call me or if you call me, but if someone I don't really want to talk to calls me, for sure.
You said friend.
Could be a friend. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I don't want the phone to ring.
Or I do send a preface text like, hey, can you chat about this real quick?
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to help other people. I like to enable
I'm
other
so
people.
I'm so 1999. I'll leave your ass a voicemail. Mm-hmm. I like to call you. I'm in the car a lot. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to check in with somebody.
But I don't mind. Like the times that you have call, I don't mind that. I promise. I honestly don't.
He texts me and he's like, she's at it again.
No. Oh, no, she's kidding.
Oh.
I knew she was about to take that seriously. I had to shut that down quickly.
Sorry, I did think you were. Okay, so one of the things that I'm hearing, and this is the reason we wanted to talk about this, is because I don't think anybody in this room necessarily has this figured out either, right? I don't. I haven't figured out, like, I'm constantly trying to figure out the healthy balance between engaging with my technology and taking a break from it, because I know I feel better when I'm not over-consuming, but I also realize work must go on. Life must go on. I got to return the emails. I got to return the texts. Of course, y'all know I only check my email once a day for 15 minutes and it has changed my life. But I haven't figured out how to do that with social media. I always say I'm a really selfish social media person because I don't do a ton of scrolling. However, because the algorithms are so good, man, they know how to serve me. The little bit of scrolling I do, I just bought
vitamins.
I love them.
Chewables.
By the way, they're so good. Okay, they have everything in them. And okay, it just Susan you just take Iowa. One little bite and you get the zinc and the vitamin. It doesn't matter. The point is, I know I'm susceptible. And the algorithm, like Will said, he doesn't mind because he kind of likes that it's showing him stuff that he's Googled and whatever. And obviously, same, because that's what's happening. Whatever you're looking for or talking about, your phone is going to serve you those things. It is ninja. I don't care what they say. They're listening. And you're getting served stuff the internet already knows, or the gods of the internet already know you are more likely to purchase and to click on. And so the question here, I think, is if we're believing cultural myths because we're consuming, and we know we're all consuming, regardless of if you've got it, you know, you're doing a good job. We're believing these cultural myths, and then how do we slide into comparison? Like, and how do we keep ourselves from sliding into comparison if we know we're going to be on our phone?
Well, I think it's envy and jealousy aren't a very comfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. They're pretty intolerable. And when we have an intolerable feeling, the brain and body is like, this feels bad. What do I do to soothe it? And it's for scrolling and consumption and capitalism, it's buy the thing so then I don't feel that bad anymore. Mm-hmm. So Laura and her husband do these marriage meetings and they talk about that and recommend it to other couples. I would imagine someone in an unhealthy or scared place might quickly do that, like impulsively, or judge that, or be like, well, that wouldn't work, or whatever it is, because of that discomfort, you know? So we usually want to put that discomfort somewhere.
Or this just happened. I was with some friends a weekend or two ago out of town, and they were like, that must feel so good to have a husband that like will communicate with you so perfectly. And I'm like,
So they compared their own marriage.
They were like, I would give anything if my husband would just meet with me. I'm like, sometimes that's the only 40 minutes we have together. Like, that might sound really cool, but because our schedules are so unaligned, a lot of times the only time we would get together where we're having a real conversation might be in that 30 to 45 minute window that we earmark on Sundays. And so the other side of that is, I would never do that and that wouldn't work for us, which obviously you and Will have said that wouldn't work for you. The opposite side of that is this illusion that I must have a really high communication husband who just loves me so much and would set aside that time. That's also
lie. That's a comparison.
Right. It's a comparison. And boy, the story we can tell ourselves, especially if we're not in a healthy place, that someone else must just really have it figured out.
Another place that I like want to caution and be gentle around is motherhood. I see that a lot.
I have a story with this.
Go for it.
I had a miscarriage in 2020. I like to tout, which maybe this is a lie. Maybe I just want to say it because I feel good about myself to say it. But I struggle with a lot of things, okay? Lots of them. But envy is not really one that is my thing. I got lots of things, but that's not really one I've ever really struggled with. I love to see people win because I want to win. And so I'm always like, yes, do it as big as possible. I'd never had a miscarriage before. Had a miscarriage in 2020. I don't think I'd ever said the words out loud, I'm sad. That was just not really an emotion that I hung out with. So had to kind of face what sadness felt like, navigate grief on a totally new level. And only a couple months out from that miscarriage, one of my really close friends was having a baby. And I was invited to baby shower. And I'm telling y'all, driving there, I had so much anxiety. And I didn't really know what that was. It just felt like a bunch of really weird, shifty energy in my body. And then I got there and I couldn't stay. I hate saying that out loud because this is a person I love so much. I'm so happy for her. But it was like I was having to look at this thing I wasn't going to get because I was like, you know, already geriatric, you know, if you're 29 now, you're having a geriatric pregnancy. I'm just kidding. But that was my motherhood is definitely a place where I felt that envy that I just didn't expect and felt really weird about it. Like that comparison of like, gosh, something that I'm so excited for someone else for, but then also really sad because I'm not going to get it. Is that in line with what you were going to say?
Oh, for sure. And that's like a real life in-person one. And what I was imagining was like, I'll see parents that have a whole Montessori style playroom and I don't, you know, and
can't. You're kidding. You don't have a whole Montessori playroom?
All my friends level do. Wooden toys. And so
vintage toys only.
It used to really like tap into like my mothering wound. So if you've experienced that, like I'm not doing enough or I'm doing too much or whatever it is, or even with the snail mucin or the containers or feelings of envy or pain and sadness, what I'm really trying to teach myself and people that I work with is like, once that sensation comes, what would it be like? This is particularly with a screen in front of you. What would it be like to just have some neutrality around it? Because social media has given us an outlet to say whatever we want that we likely might not say in person. But it's like in this place where we to air our grievances or compare or become so critical. And imagine if you opened your phone from a spot of neutrality and that if you scrolled past this person and they had their pregnancy test, if you like had that. And then had this moment of like that exhale of neutrality and like, okay, I need to take this somewhere else. I'm not that you process on social media, but some people do process on social media.
Lord, that's his own episode. Yeah, these people take into the socials to like have prayers, please. Me and my spouse are going through something I don't want to talk about here.
Yeah, unspoken prayer. No.
We're all shaking like, don't do it.
So kind of through all of this is comparison is normal. I believe it's part of the human experience. And when we get to move from comparison into neutrality, that's how we like soften some of that. And if you're in like that skincare thing, like, you know, chill out, see a dermatologist, they know so much. And then the third piece of this is that like critiquing piece, part of comparison, if we can't do or have the product, critique is the other way we go, right?
Judgment.
So if I feel icky or less than, you know, blame is the discharge of pain. So I'm going to blame this or put it there. And that gives a dopamine hit. Unfortunately, when we gossip or we're shitty, our brain's like, that felt delicious, you know? And so we get that relief. But our ickies build up because we didn't actually resolve anything and we didn't do anything healthy or good for us. And Will, I want to hear about this because you post things on Facebook every single day for your actual job. But yeah, it's a place where I see people don't know what to do with their feelings. So they puke them up out there, get some relief, and it really doesn't help anything. And I'm going to be specific and then I promise I'll hush and hear from Will Lockamy. But I don't know if y'all have seen the like Sephora kids. There's this phenomenon where these 9, 10, 11-year-olds are buying these products, Drunk Elephant or other high-end products, and they have, like, retinol and other harsh chemicals, so people are coming online, like, mocking them and all of this stuff. And I want to be really clear, like, when I was their age, I was in AOL chat rooms, like...
Same.
Lying about my age, sex, location. Same. And, like, who cares? Like... And so that's the part of things where I just think this comparison or what I need and what I want, like those little girls saw it online.
Wait, hold on. Those little girls are exactly who we're talking about. They gave in to a cultural myth that all of a sudden their skin would be, it already is perfect, clearly, because they're children, little infants. We would kill for that skin. But they're buying, they're consuming at a high level because of this comparison idea.
They're the highest level of skincare consumer, like the highest generation people have ever seen.
And they're leaning on the financial support of their parents to purchase these really expensive things. I was just with my best friend who has four almost teenage daughters. Actually, no, they're all officially teenage. Joni just turned 13. And she was saying, like, Joni's like a little Sephora kid. And it's like, I have to tell her, like, hey, babe, that's not even formulated for your face. But to your point, there are people that are making fun of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. When I was that age, Kate Spade had just come out with a silk backpack. Everyone had one. And so even then, prior to social media, at that age, you're really susceptible to, you know, this kid in my class has that. It was New Balance, gray tennis shoes, a 100%. Kate Spade backpack, mm-hmm. and Michael Starr shirts. Like, that was what we did at Mountain Brook Junior High School.
Let there be a conversation about a starter jacket. I needed those in middle school so bad.
So I think this is kind of a twofold thing here with those kids. Like, yes, consumers that have been compared and this thing will be fun and exciting. But I also think that the grown-ups involved get to take a tender approach. Like, that is an impressionable age. Like, if it wasn't on social media, like, we all had Tamagotchis. Like, you all have these things. And so
we so quickly forget where we came from.
They're and no that we different did than us.
No different. No different.
And so I'm trying to, like, support those little cuties that hopefully they're polite in Sephora. And there's, like, funny videos of, like, them being kind of assholes. But, like, whatever. That's just a parenting issue, you know? So I took my kid to Sephora the other day for her birthday. And a lady said, she turned 10. A lady was like, can I help you? And she had these big eyes. And she looks at me and she goes, am I one of those girls that social media is making fun of? And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, no, you're 10 and you want a lip gloss. Like, so trying to also normalize, because she's seen, we all want this product and we're being bashed for it too by grownups that don't have anything else to do. Mm. So this is a layered piece for me.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, what's your take on this? You have a daughter.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to her about it when I pick her up from school today, because I don't really know. We do talk all the time and about the ridiculousness of social media and how she and I are both addicted to it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about this. She hasn't brought this one up to me. And luckily, I mean, generally when she needs a product or something, it's like CVS. We're running to CVS to grab something. So
what
maybe
a humble child.
No, sweet. I mean, I'm not saying she doesn't have stuff from Sephora, because I'm aware of Sephora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Most of the stuff we're able to just go down the street to the drugstore.
When Will posts a daily question for the radio, like he asks a question and it's typically a really fun question, then people answer. Is anyone ever like ugly or purging their stuff or saying, no, you're wrong, because really it's this way?
Like fights breaking out between comments?
Yeah, so there used to be some of this and I started deleting those comments pretty quickly.
And blocking people.
And now just recently for the first time I blocked someone. Here's the thing. People think, like, man, Will's so active on Facebook, right? Because every day I'm posting this thing that's getting hundreds of engagements. And that's it. That's the only time I use Facebook. Like, I don't check Facebook when I leave. So over the weekend, people, like, tag and send messages and stuff. I'm not going to see any of that. Like, I will not see Facebook again until I get back to work and have to open it to post that question. And then I might read, you know, 20 of the 150 answers. I might have time to kind of go through those. So it's especially with the political stuff, like that's when it got not much. Like my questions weren't that big of a deal because they are all supposed to be like fun, happy. And, you know, I would just say sometimes like, hey, this is supposed to be just a fun question. We don't need to go down this path, but I would usually just delete. And so people basically stopped posting that kind of stuff.
So we've talked to you about social media before. You like TikTok.
Right now, and again, like that's such a weird thing for me to say because up until just months ago, I'd never even really looked at it except a time or two. I was like, oh, this doesn't fit my personality at all. It's showing me stuff I don't care about. And then my intern, she's like, oh, do this and this and the algorithm will figure you out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And within days, I was like, oh, yeah, this is now the perfect scroll for me. And so I barely use Instagram now. Now it's pretty much just TikTok.
This next question is going to be hard because we know you and you're maybe one of the most relaxed, genuine people I've ever hung out with. But, so I want you to answer for you and for men that you're around, I guess. Do you feel that pull of comparison, like what we're talking about?
I was really trying to think about this as you guys were talking about it. Not really anymore. Now, I do think there was a time, maybe 10, 15 years ago, especially when I was trying to get into this business and like figure out what I was going to do. Definitely like, wait, why are they getting this job? Or why am I not, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, Laura, I want everyone to be successful and to have good ratings and to get the job that they want. And I will give advice to anyone. And I'm friends with my competitors. And we go to lunch together and talk. How are things going? What can I help you with? That's my take on that stuff now. I mean, physically, like, because I enjoy exercising and stuff, I mean, I follow a lot of, like, you know, exercise things. And so I guess in that, there's some, like, dang, like, I've really, you know, dropped 10 pounds on this. But even that's more, like, goal stuff oriented. Like,
put to good use.
Put to good use around my, like, workout stuff, right? So it's not, I don't really have, like, yeah. No, I don't think so. But I think also it's just because of my age now, and I'm probably past it.
I don't know. Stephanie buys a lot of stuff. She's 60-something.
Okay, I want to circle us back. So one of the things you said earlier, we're talking about cultural myths and the drug of comparison. We think cultural myths kind of open the door to comparison. And you said when we are feeling the pull, so the cultural myth pulled you in, someone has a perfect life, someone's selling the snail secretion, milk, the snail milk for your perfect complexion, great. You said, when we are feeling the pull of comparison, if we can pause and take a deep breath and just sit with it instead of what?
Reactivity.
Okay, which means?
Well, say something shitty, buy a product, feeling less than, like going into that, I don't want to say spiral. I don't think you're going to have like a mental health crisis because you like buy the snail mucin, you know, like some of it's really laughable.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I've done that. I do the same thing. I can't even tell you the things. She's making fun of me about these little, I'm like, they have everything in them and they have zinc and all the things and it hits your system. I don't know that. That's what it's
real bioavailable.
Really bioavailable.
Well, here's the thing. There's some really good stuff and there's some business owners that are making their life using social media and they have really quality products. And right. I love to find great people to buy from. So I don't want to sound like fucking Scrooge.
No, totally.
Like I do buy stuff.
Yes.
However, when we feel comparison, it is typically attached to an insecurity, a less than, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling low. And so if you're not coping with that, then you're in a reactive rather than like a responsive space. And then if it's envy, which is very different from those, and our next gut instinct is to like judge, critique, criticize, mm-hmm. beat myself up. What you and Will have both said is I want everybody to win. Mm-hmm. That is not a very common mentality. So I think where the three of us are really on the same page is I'm coming from like curiosity and neutrality, and y'all are doing the next step, which is really difficult, but it's like the supreme way of being, honestly, which is I can have joy for you even if I don't have it.
I can tell you.
Which is life-changing.
It is. And also, by the way, that mentality opens the door to opportunity, I think. I think when you can be open and celebrate people who have things you don't have. And this is not saying, like I've already been open with, I had a really difficult time going to someone's baby shower who I love and love those babies. Because I was hurting in a thing. Of course, we're going to experience seasons like that. But the idea that when we start to be genuinely excited for other people's success, the door for success for you will open. That is a truth that has been real and regular in my life in perpetuity. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely it makes me feel good. Right. And I'm not doing it intentionally. Like, it's mm-hmm. not something, it's just that once I kind of came to that realization of I just want to support everybody, I want everyone to succeed. I just know it helps me, you know, be relaxed and not stress about things and be happy.
Well, because if we don't do that, we're likely in a place of scarcity, which is very common for me. We're not going to go into that necessarily.
We'll have a whole episode about scarcity at some point.
But scarcity, very briefly, is if you have that, then there couldn't possibly be enough for me. Or it's a very fear-based way. And there's more to scarcity than that one sentence. But as far as social media and consumption goes, it's this feeling of if you have that, could I possibly have it? And so that's the A block, not the only block, but that's a block to having joy. Mm-hmm. Like if I have joy, then does that mean I can't fight for that or get it too or enjoy that too? And that's a lie.
You said something earlier that I just think is worth repeating. You said blame is the discharge of pain. And so when we start moving into that judgy, making fun of others, that normally means this feels painful to me. I feel so uncomfortable. I want to just talk shit, right?
Look, if you're posting selfies of you crying on Instagram, I am going to have a judgmental thought. I'm not, like, enlightened in that way yet, okay? I can't stand it. And I want to send them a therapist number and be like, cry to them or whatever else. Like, that, attention seeking, I will own it, makes me banana town, okay? And sometimes I can be calm and kind, and I'm like, they must be really hurting, and I hope their day gets better. But so as we tell you all this, just know I'm not, like, scrolling Instagram, like, levitating in enlightenment, peace, and joy. Like, I still get the ick sometimes with this stuff. But that's just the truth, and I feel like we have to be real about that. Reality check me. But, yeah, so I didn't come up with Blame as the Discharge of Pain. That's, like, a foundational piece of Brené Brown's work. So when we feel pain, we'll kind of puke it up elsewhere because it physically feels like it's been removed from us in that moment. We haven't coped or dealt, so it's going to come on back.
Gossip. I mean, you bring up gossip too, because that's definitely, like, I think that when we feel pain, and comparison feels painful. To compare to someone that has something that you want, hope you will get one day, but don't have, man, that can feel really painful. And it creates a really fun environment to talk shit and to gossip and whatever. And listen, nothing feels grosser than walking away from talking shit about someone else. You feel so gross, even if you're accustomed to it. You don't know why you feel gross. You just feel gross all the time. You meet those people all the time that are
carry
like
the,
they're just
the
like
cloud with
exactly
them.
And you're like, wow. But yeah, and I feel disgusting. Like, it's one of my personal core values to try and just roll out. If, like, people are talking shit, my first go-to is, like, let's change the subject. Yes. I'll just try to, like, ninja into a subject change. But if I can't, I try to get out. And if I don't, they're like, shit, I hate myself for, like, a whole day.
I also wanted to bring up one more thing, because I don't want us to sound like holier than thou and, like, just have joy for others. You want everybody to win. But the truth is, like, there's also another thing you can do, which is have humor around it. And we talk about that, like, with the apologizing, our last episode with the microphone, like, bringing levity to something that feels really uncomfortable. So I saw definitely an influencer. I sent it to Laura, and she's like, we needed more space in our laundry room. And her laundry room was as, like, big as my child's bedroom. And I was like, that bitch, you know? And I was like, what did she need? And she showed her installs, you know, of where she was going to hang her clothes. So I sent it to Laura. And I was like, if I knew how to make one of those things where it shows the video and then it flips you, what's that called?
Like a green screen kind of with a back.
Wait, shows a video and then flips you?
No, not flips.
Split screen?
Like, if it shows, if someone's talking on their video and then it flips to you, not flips.
Oh, but like split screen.
Sure.
Yeah, split screen, where your reaction.
What is the word for
that? I said that, split screen.
Split screen.
If, well, I mean, that is literally what it sounds like. It's just too. It's
Claire is an elderly millennial who doesn't know all the terms.
I think through it, but it's the stitch. Incoming.
Pick stitch or whatever?
Yeah, stitch incoming. Just forget this ever happened, okay? It doesn't matter. The point of this story is I don't know how to use technology. And then the second is those things, like, I had to laugh about it. My laundry room is literally, I would say, as small as a closet. Like, you have to kind of shuffle in to get all your stuff in. And I never think about it. Like, I really don't care. I don't want to spend a lot of time there. I don't care for laundry, and I sure as shit don't want to put it away. But it was so funny, the total disconnect of reality, you know, from this lady to my laundry room. And so, like, I sent it to her not to actually be like, I hate this woman. I'm sure she's lovely. But, like, I had to have, like, a good laugh. Like, you can have levity about it without being
icky. And I think, like, that is the important thing, is that you shouldn't spiral into a frenzy where you have to comment on something 800 times and send it to 500 people about how much you hated it. But you can laugh your ass off when someone who lives in a mansion is talking about the remodel of anything, their closet that they're doing a clean out or whatever, or their laundry room or whatever it may be, the refrigerator with all of the dishes. The truth is, it is funny. A lot of it is so not real life that you're like, who the fuck has time or resources to do these things that y'all are doing? But then also, you could, those are the two choices. Find some levity in it, send it to someone, laugh your ass off about it. Like, oh, well, meanwhile, I had to turn sideways to get my laundry in my, you know, my washer this morning. But you don't have to go nasty. Because that's like that's a choice.
Or beat yourself up nasty.
Exactly. Like, you're taking the breath, you send it to somebody, you laugh about it, you move on. Like, I think that that's a great a great takeaway.
Thank you.
Yeah,
do you want to give us some highlights? Or William, do you have anything? Bill?
Bill?
You're Billy? Right, it's a stitch. Just stitch. That's exactly what you were trying to describe.
Wow.
God, feels good.
I never used that function.
Mm-mm. Well, I wouldn't know how if you had a gun in my head.
What an elderly millennial she is. Just with her cane, walking around trying to learn the words of the socials.
I get so irritated if my parents need help with something like that. And my sweet dad, his phone text is blown up so big, it's like 3 words to the screen. Uh-huh. And he booked a flight for me and I asked him to send it to me, but he had to send it in 3 different screenshots because it was so blown large. Up. And I'm like, how does he not know? And I'm going to not know. Like, I'm developing the period of unknown.
Listen, Shane has this older gentleman that, like, loves him and has known him his whole life. Was, like, his band director or something, like, way back in the day. And he sends him texts, and we were trying to figure it. They're so cryptic. They're, like, 2 words on each line. And they're very, like, we're like, what is happening? He'll be like, don't worry. They are against you, but you are doing good work. Like, it's like the weirdest, and we're like, what? And sometimes I'll come in like 3 different texts, and we finally had the epiphany. This dude's just old and his screen is blown up so big that he's pushing enter because the word like he's just pushing enter. Yes, we are those people. We are going to need help. I need help already. I don't know anything about anything, just to be clear. Don't want y'all to think I'm just making fun of her. Will is the only person who knows anything about anything, and he has to Google stuff. So
that's how I know stuff, is because I just am constantly Googling Google. And watching YouTube tutorials.
He is an encyclopedia. All right, here's the highlights. This is the deal. If you feel yourself getting sucked into the cultural myth that somebody has a perfect life, perfect kids, perfect husband, the meeting's working and solving all their problems, which is fucking bullshit, by the way. If you're getting sucked into that, then here's what you need to know. That is a drug of comparison. The drug of comparison will lead you down a path to believe that everybody else's life is great. Claire's takeaways are comparison instead of comparison. When you're feeling that, we're going to go to neutrality. We're going to take a deep breath and just let ourselves sit in it. And then also when you feel yourself blaming or going into judgment, just understand that normally means there's some pain there. I think a third takeaway could be just taking a break from your phone before you make the decision to purchase the chewables, which I'll be honest, I really like them.
We'll link them.
If they want to, they're linked here in the notes below.
Amazon storefront.
You can find them in my Amazon store, which I don't have because I don't know how to work. But I think that before you make the purchase, especially if it's something that could put you out, take a break from your phone. Phone a friend. We talk about that all the time. I love putting shit in my shopping cart and never buying it. Mm. I sometimes will, as a Maxinisa, go to TJ Maxx, walk around, fill a cart up, roll out.
Is Maxinisa a thing?
Bobby refers to himself as a Maxinisa.
Well, listen.
This is just like a fun thing that you guys
come
up
with. No,
that's
a real thing. Branding. That's their branding.
What?
Google it.
Mm-mm, we're not doing that.
Do
we're not
have
judging.
A card? Are you?
You just get to kind of self-identify.
Oh, like okay. I'm a Maxinista. I live in Coleman. Okay, that's all we have. So,
and then the last thing that I want to add is this isn't like a clinical issue. We're all kind of going through it, and it's not like a massive red flag for your mental health. This is just something to like talk about, normalize. And Laura said somewhere in there, we don't have all the information, not just us. None of us do yet. And so, like, if you're listening, don't beat yourself up. We do it too.
Follow along with us everywhere. Please subscribe to the podcast. Find us on Instagram. We're constantly doing polls. We want to know what you think. And I know that you probably know this, but reviewing us and giving us 5 stars matters more than anything. And we are so grateful to have you here.